So I wanted to see John Mouse on my birthday. I had planned to go to Los Angeles, 2 months ago, roughly. Maybe not. I don't remember when the idea first popped in there. Aside from initially, I kind of wanted to go to Italy or Greece, but honestly, I would have to take off too much work. So I settled for LA. But it wasn't really settling for LA. I had this feeling that I wanted to go to Los Angeles to make the scene, to kind of reconvene with a couple of the people that I had interviewed on my podcast, like Juan Manuel Larrazabal, maybe Don Bowles. I talked to both those cats. I didn't do a podcast with them when I was in town. LA is just too weirdly slow-moving and massive, and I couldn't navigate quick enough to figure it out to do other podcasts while I was there. But I laid the groundwork, and I will do those podcasts. I got to finish Don Bowles' book first. It's about Darby Crash. He was in the Germs, and Don Bowles plays for Ariel Pink, drums and backup vocals sometimes. He's a great presence to that band. Anyway, of course, I would bring up Ariel Pink within the first minute of this podcast. He is associated with John Mouse, and like I said before, you guys can look into it. I guess they went to school together, and they are of a similar experimental ilk as far as music goes. Now, I wanted to see John Mouse on my birthday, as I said before. It seemed like a very cool thing to do. I was going to go to Los Angeles. I was going to hang out for, I don't know, the weekend, and I wanted to go to Joshua Tree, but on my birthday, November 2nd, Day of the Dead, I was going to see John Mouse. Now, I almost didn't get to see John Mouse for a couple different reasons. One, that I'm just getting kind of old, and I'm not as ambitious in my nightlife, you know, scenarios anymore. Two, it was $75 to get in to see John Mouse. Now, I believe it probably was $75 for the whole day because it was this really cool Substance Festival. And the Substance Festival, headlined by Gary Numan and John Mouse, Friday, November 1st, 7 p.m. to Sunday, November 3rd. Anyway, it was really fucking cool. I was hoping. I've seen John Mouse before in Pittsburgh. And it just seemed like a great thing to do for my birthday. So I was going to watch the Jorge Masvidal and the Nate Diaz fight, and then I was going to saunter over to the Los Angeles Theater and see John Mouse. So I got finished watching the fight, basically. I don't know. That fight ended about hold on, let me get my computer in order here. Sorry, I'm slightly distracted. I finished watching the fight about 8 o'clock at some Cabo Cantina joint in West Hollywood. It was very anticlimactic. I know. I don't know if you guys are into MMA at all. I got swept up into it. There's some really cool personalities. And just to see these guys battle and to know it's not really rigged and there's no outcome, it's a pure meritocracy, appeals to me, I suppose. But anyway, I left Cabo Cantina. I think I tried to get into the Chateau Marmont, which was like a bizarre thing I wanted to do on my birthday. They wouldn't let me in. I had shorts on. They claimed that if you got there after 6, that you had to have a reservation. Probably bullshit. I'm sure if I was like beautiful and famous, they would let me in. But whatever. It's all good. Truly, I probably didn't want to go in anyway. I just wanted to try it, to get into the legendary Chateau Marmont. And it happened to be around the corner from the place I watched that fight. So me and my buddy are walking down, I guess it's Hollywood Boulevard. We come to a comedy club. I still want to go see John Mouse, but I'm not sure. He wants to go see some comedy, so we split up. I get an Uber, and I decide I can either go, I can sit, I think to myself, I can either go to the hostel and fuck around and walk around Hollywood and really not do anything, maybe have a beer, something lame, or I can follow through with my plan of seeing Dr. John Mouse. Apparently, John Mouse has a PhD in political science, which is pretty fucking cool. He got it from the University of Hawaii. Anyway, I jumped in an Uber, And it took me about 20 minutes, 25 minutes perhaps, to get down to downtown Los Angeles. Now, I had never been to downtown Los Angeles before. And the Los Angeles Theater, I had no idea what to expect. The last time I saw John Mouse was in Pittsburgh, and it was at a fairly small club. Like, I don't know, the club held about 300 or 400 people. And this looked like a massive venue. Had a great marquee out front, a lush, like ropes, you know, security ropes, like really nice security ropes, like velveteen security ropes. And I said, great. I walked up. I said, how much is John Mouse? I want to see John Mouse. How much is the ticket? They said $75. And I said, for John Mouse, not that John Mouse isn't worth $75, but it was late. I was only there to see John Mouse, and it seemed a little steep. I'm not a rich person. I couldn't really justify seeing John Mouse for $75, at least at this point in the night. So I was going to take my chances elsewhere. I was going to walk away and consider not seeing John Mouse for the second time tonight. But I did what I always do at shows. I get in my head that I'm going to get in this show for free. Now, it's not that I don't want to support the arts. It's not that I don't think John Mouse is worth it, as I've said before. However, I didn't have the money. So I walk around the block, and my goal was to get to the alleyway because that's where the action is, and that's where the people load in and out. And that's where the normie fans, they won't go to, where normie fans fear to tread. They generally don't go in the alleyways, except for the fact that maybe it was filled with, actually, you know what? I don't think there are any normie fans back there. Normie fans with $75 burning a hole in their pocket. I walked back into the alleyway behind the Los Angeles Theater, and it was a crazy ass scene. Punks, weirdos, gothic folks, people like clearly drugged out, making out on the sidewalk. It seemed like a sea of people. It seemed like I was so happy to be there. It felt like I stepped back into a party from like 1983 or 79 to 83, that era, where the punks and the goths didn't have too many of their own numbers, so they probably hung out with each other. You know, the time when Susie and the Banshees may have been hitting, along with, I don't know, the Ramones or something. I know Susie Sue, I believe they're English, but Ramones are American. But you know, there was a time when those two bands may have been, you know, playing the same block at the same time, and possibly their audiences coagulated and made for a much bigger, larger, fiercer, wilder, and more subversive audience. It was amazing just to see it. I'd never been in downtown LA. Long story short, I walked through the sea of people, and then I walked directly into the back entrance. Now, upon getting in, I was like, Jesse, I thought to myself, you did it again, motherfucker. You did it again. You got in for free. You're kind of a scumbag, perhaps, but I will tell you what, I'm making up for not paying for John Mouse that night by spreading the good word about John Mouse. I've turned on, you know, at least 6 people to John Mouse who are fans now. So I don't know. I hope it's worth it. I had a great experience. First of all, I walk in and this guy comes up to me, and he's like kind of a clean cut Asian looking dude, but he's fairly disheveled, in his clothes. Like, he's unbuttoned. There's just something kind of off about him. I feel like he's drunk or something. And he goes, hey man, I see you have an iPhone. I lost my phone in the pit. Will you come help me find it? I said, okay, man, because I had nothing better to do. And he starts taking me like upstairs towards the pit, quote unquote. But he wasn't taking me anywhere near the actual pit, which would be on the floor. He was taking me up in the balcony wings, and it just didn't make any fucking sense. I kept saying, dude, the pit, like, downstairs? I don't know. I didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe he thought it was somewhere else. He wanted me to follow him with my phone. And he kept telling me, if you help me, I'll give you a bump of cocaine. I'll give you heroin. I said, dude, I'm good on the cocaine and heroin. I'll help you find your phone. But where the fuck is it? And at some point, the band ends. We aren't anywhere near the pit. And he asked me to go out front and smoke. Now I said, I can't go out front and smoke, dude, because there are people out there that just saw me not pay for a ticket. And they'll see that I'm inside. I can't do it. Sorry. But when this band's over, when you come back, and the band was already over, like I didn't realize it. I was like, when you come back, I'll be around. Find me. We'll find your phone. So of course, the dude goes out to smoke and I just walk away. I'm not going to wait for him. I mean, I had already like given him a chance. It seemed really weird. I don't even know if he had a phone. Maybe he just wanted a friend. I really don't know. But I'm walking around this place and it's just filled with people. And we're talking about like full on makeup, black. This one dude, black clothes, crazy eyeliner, like beautiful women and like really tight, like black. And I don't know. It's just very, very gothic. It looked like something out of the past. And for me, it just summed up so much and just made so much sense that like this was Los Angeles. And there's like no rules in LA. And it all made sense on why the music that I love from LA is like it is. Because everybody's kind of an actor and there's no rules. And there's no real scene that's dominating. So everything seemed to be kind of a mishmash. You know, right outside the venue, we had Latino folks, Mexican folks, Guatemalan folks, whoever, cooking up sausages wrapped in bacon with wonderful vegetables on top of these things. And, you know, like people selling pizza and toilet paper and the wind blowing and cops rolling by and Mexican bars late at night. It was a crazy mixed up area. And it just seemed really renegade and really outlaw. Like there was a department store, you know, that said uniforms for sale in massive fucking letters. And I don't even know what that means, uniforms for sale. It seemed like kind of a dystopian past, retro future, you know, which is interesting because that's how they describe John Mouse in a different way. But I've heard John Mouse being called retro futuristic. And what that means to me is I guess he's retro because he kind of loved a lot of the 80s bands and uses a lot of those retro sounding analog synthesizers. But it's all futuristic because it sounds like the future, and all that shit in the 80s sounded like the future. So it's retro futurism, I suppose. But anyway, so sorry. I just waited. Man, I got in the crowd. I got a good seat and I think I lost my sunglasses. You know, I was so kind of swept up in everything. I don't know where they went, but, I got a decent seat. I sat on the stairs and I waited for John Miles at this point. I didn't see anybody I knew really. It was all just so wild to me. It was just a great time. It was really fucking cool. It was my birthday. It was Day of the Dead. I'm at this like amazing goth party. You know, I'm not like a goth person. I don't know too much about it, but I do love music and I can appreciate, you know, genres. And my father actually was, assuming he remembers what he was into. He was a massive gothic fan. So it kind of reminded me of him. Like I was carrying the torch a little bit for my dad. In his day, he would have loved this. He really likes John Mouse. He really likes Ariel Pink. He loves Susie and the Banshees. He loves The Cure. Like he would have fit in. He would have loved it. He has his own gothic dance and all that shit. So I was thinking about him a little bit, and John Mouse is like setting up his gear, which is cool. It's like a working man's gesture, you know, and surrounding the stage, not front of the stage, but like beside him and behind him are like security fences, but not because he's afraid of somebody bum rushing the stage per se, but just because it looks fucking cool and it looks industrial. And I hadn't seen any of the other bands that night, so maybe they were there all night. They probably were, you know, those fences. But I wondered if he would have a band for this special occasion. This place is packed. This place is massive. To give you an idea, it seemed kind of smoky. Pot smoke may have filled the air a little bit. Maybe there was fog machines, but it was huge. It reminded me of like the it's like bigger than the Moore Theater in Seattle, but smaller than the Paramount. I would guess it held about 2,500 people, if I had to guess. And it was just cavernous. It was massive. It was beautiful. It was gothic. It was really old looking. I had, you know, it's definitely one of the beautiful theaters in LA, I'm sure. And, you know, here's this guy, John Mouse. Clearly these people are fucking stoked on him. Meanwhile, last time I saw him was in Pittsburgh and people liked him, but it wasn't like this, you know, this is like gothic. And this guy, I think, made his mark in LA. I know he's from like, Minnesota, I believe, but, he's big in LA. Anyway, total legend. I mean, it felt that way. It just felt that there was this anticipation. He's setting up his gear. At some point, the fog machines kick on. He fucking pushes play on his fucking boom. It's not a boom box, but you know, he pushes play and, it sounds beautiful. It sounds crystal fucking clear. The music just sounds great. And there's like strobe lights and there's green lights and there's fog and there's smoke. And it just seems amazing. And people are just so happy to see him. I'm just looking, people's arms and hands are outstretched and it's just black against the green background. And I see somebody like holding up a record and that always sticks in my mind. Somebody's like grooving, they bought a record. And yeah, what the fuck do you do with a record? If you bought it before the show, you can't hold it down. But the entire show, the dude or the lady had a record up. And I just wondered, that's probably not a John Mouse record, but who's on that record? That's fucking awesome. It just gave this feeling, you know. And then he's, you know, John Mouse started singing. And he's got this great baritone. And it was all just so beautiful and like heavy and like ominous. And he's doing these kind of like jerky rhythmic dances with his arms, like a madman and like a caveman, and just really fucking cool. And it's very much his own thing. And he's singing like a gothic Calvin Johnson, you know, and it's just him. And the thought crosses my mind, that dude's going to make a lot of money tonight. He doesn't even have to pay his band. This is fucking awesome. It probably sounds as good as if it had a live band. I mean, it sounds more perfect. But it's probably just as satisfying. I was satisfied. The people were satisfied. I mean, people were loving it. It was beautiful. It was powerful. I said it before. He sounded like God. He sounded like God. The reverb, the baritone, the atmosphere. It was perfect. It was really inspiring. At some point, like, you know, when I see shows, sometimes I don't have to see the whole show to enjoy it or to know how great it was. You know what I mean? And I started getting stir crazy, and I took a couple of videos, and you can see those on my Twitter account. Go ahead and follow me at Shit Show with J-Bo if you like. But I started getting a little stir crazy. I wanted to see it, but I wanted to see a different perspective. So I walked upstairs for a bit. And on my way upstairs, I walked past the sound guy, the sound person. And it's a very familiar face, very familiar stature. It was Ariel Pink. And I'll be damned, I believe he was running the sound that night. I think I broke that news on Ariel Pink Nymph posting. But yeah, so I said, what's up, dude? I didn't want to bother him, but I wanted to make my presence known because I had messaged the guy and told him I was coming to LA and seeing if he would be at that show. Whatever, he was at that show. He was running sound. It sounded amazing. It was totally epic. Said hi to Ariel Pink. Walked upstairs, sat down, watched a couple songs, and I believe he ended the show with Cop Killer. But before that, he played Teenage Witch, which I fucking love. He played Touchdown. I'm a little bit tired of that song, Touchdown, but only because it was the first song I heard by him, and I kind of overplayed it, but it was really brilliant. He had a beautiful, like, red light behind him, really heavy and dark, actually. And, it was all just really epic, really picturesque, like exactly what I wanted to see for my birthday, the exact vibe. It couldn't have gotten any better, to be honest. One of the best shows I've ever seen, you know, putting everything together right up there with Radiohead at the Gorge, you know, just beautiful and perfect, man. Heavy, heavy. And John Mouse at some point was like running, sprinting back and forth between the fences, like a madman. I don't know. Like, I guess when you don't have a guitar in a band, you have to be very creative with your movements. I might recommend John to get some karate moves down. That would be really cool. What's that? Tai Chi, maybe some Tai Chi moves. I think Calvin Johnson, I've compared John Mouse with Calvin Johnson. They're very interesting, fairly eccentric as far as how they portray themselves. Baritones, big guys, kind of imposing, you know. Calvin Johnson does the Tai Chi moves. Maybe that's something you could do. Anyway, whatever. I digress. I was up in the balcony. I said, you know what? I've seen enough. I got to get out of here. I listened to one more song. And the final song, I believe, was Cop Killer. It might have been something else. But I was about to leave. Then I realized he left the stage and never came back. And I said, that's fucking great. I might be the only person in here that's glad he didn't do an encore, because I was going to leave anyway. And I don't know that John Mouse ever does encores. Maybe he does. I'm kind of a Johnny come lately to the whole John Mouse fan club deal. But I do know that when I saw him in Pittsburgh, he did not do an encore. And I actually ran into him outside and I said, what's up? You know, no encore, John? And he said something like, he didn't think he was going over very well. And he didn't think, I don't know, he didn't deserve to do an encore or something, like it wasn't good enough, which was not true at all. So maybe he was just telling me that, but whatever. I find it fresh. I find everything the dude does as fresh. I call his music, in a loving way, I call it like bumper sticker goth. I don't know. I never said that before, but it's just like, he'll come up with a slogan, you know, like rights for gays, or your pets are going to die, or, you know, teenage witch, or go for the touchdown, and just repeat it in these kind of like heavy, hypnotic, variant versions of the words. And they just become masterpieces, especially the last two records, which I've loved. Man, and then I left. I rolled out of there. I think I took a piss. And I walked out through the motley-looking crew, eating sausage, making out, smoking cigarettes, putting on lipstick, looking cool, all very young. And it reminded me how fucking cool LA must have been through the years, that I never really got to experience it. But you're never really too old, right? I mean, the first time I went to Europe, I was 38 years old. I turned 44 on Saturday, and I had a good fucking time. We can always have a good fucking time. And I had an amazing birthday with John Mouse at the Los Angeles Theater on November 2nd, 2019. You guys have a wonderful evening, or morning, or afternoon, and we shall talk soon. Bye.